Mac on the Easy Mac Podcast. Join the Easy Mac guys, Jeff and Mike, at www.easymacpodcast.com or simply search Easy Mac at the iTunes Store. That's the letter E, the letter Z. Mac, Easy Mac Podcast.
It's time for the Jabbercast.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing great. Feel great. Well,
that's
back
awesome.
Is great.
Your back is great.
Oh, yeah.
What about your front?
Everything's bad.
Everything's bad.
You can hardly move.
He had to honk the horn in the driveway and I had to go out and pick him up.
Carry him in.
On a gurney.
On a gurney.
I love that word, gurney.
Gurney. It is a funny word.
It is. It's like shyster.
We need a new funny words show.
Sure, I'm into words. I love words.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of funny ones.
There sure is. Anything going on this week?
Starting Monday? I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's the past week. Anything interesting happened?
Oh, the past week? No, not really. I guess I've just been working hard on the rolling on thing. Put a lot of time in on that this past week, working on the Rod Pod podcast.
You must be making a fortune off that.
Oh, yeah.
All the work you put into that?
The money is just, it's incredible. It really is incredible.
The money's incredible. My bank account's getting so fat. I don't believe you.
I can play a little commercial for Rolling On, actually, off the website. Here, take a listen to this.
All right.
Rolling On Detroit is a unique and inspirational reality TV show that transforms displaced Michigan workers into film and television crews. While engineers become cameramen, line workers become gaffers, and salespeople become editors, viewers witness Motown's transformation to Movie Town. Get ready for Rolling On, the reality TV show, and Rod Pod, the Rolling On Detroit video podcast, coming soon to the iTunes Store. For more information and to get involved, visit www.rollingondetroit.com.
There you have it.
How come line workers become gaffers?
That's what they like best.
I don't.
No?
I'm not.
You don't want to be a gaffer?
No.
Would you rather be a gopher?
That's where the word came from, isn't it?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
Gaffer.
Gaffer this and gaffer that. And you got to have tape. Always a big roll of gaffer tape on your hip.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with duct tape.
Or gopher tape.
Gopher tape.
For when you round up your gophers and you got to tape up their legs while they're upside down.
Yeah.
Y'all like NASCAR?
I love NASCAR. Just as much as I like watching the corn grow.
I don't know where I hear that, like that southern drawl. Drew and Mike or something? And they used to play a clip that said, you like NASCAR? Do you remember that at all? Did you ever listen to them? Yeah, you must have.
Yeah. Yep. It's not ringing a bell, but...
like a ringing a bell. What's that? Ring a bell. Johnny Be Good.
Yes. I thought you were talking about the Donna Summer tune. Ring my bell.
You guys played Donna Johnny Summer, Be Good? No.
Johnny Be Good was the very first song I ever played live in front of anybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was very nervous. It was at A-Bars. They had an open mic night.
Ooh. I wonder if you were there when I was ever there.
At A-Bars?
Yeah. Would have been Blizzard, probably. A band called Blizzard. Kicked out every time. I don't know why they let us back. Sometimes they just unplug it, stop the power. There'd be nothing coming through anymore.
So you remember the guy's name? Uh-huh. Remember the guy's name?
No.
Russ.
That was the old guy or something?
Yeah, the old guy.
Okay, yeah. In fact, some of that was just covers. I think we were playing all covers at the time.
Sure.
Still kick us off.
Yeah.
Too crazy, too loud, too much madness in the bar. Things flying around, bust getting broken, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And you know what? We never had a singer. We went and played instrumental everything.
No.
Yeah, like ZZ Top and all that stuff with no singing. Yeah. And they just freaked out. And well, we had the place like jammed, man. They made good money, but they still couldn't go for it. Too much damage. With no damage control.
Can't handle the damage. Speaking of jamming, I saw Cheap Trick on Friday.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
All original guys?
All original guys. They had a keyboard player who's comes on and off with them whenever they do touring, I guess. I'm not sure. But yeah, there's one thing I remember about Cheap Trick. I've seen them a couple times before. And they have a weird, what's the word? A weird setup, I guess. The singer, Rob Zander, great singer, gets right into it. His voice is it's just like it was 30 years ago. And when they stop a song, usually the front guy is the, hey, how's it going, everybody? You know.
Right.
Other than singing, he never said anything.
Wow.
Nothing. Who does it? Rick Nielsen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Huh. So Rick Nielsen is the go-between the audience and the band. And then the singer sings. I think they could do more with that if Rob Zander would just come out of his shell or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's weird how that works. I've seen other bands like that, and it kind of surprises you when it's somebody else that's actually talking.
Yeah.
It doesn't look right.
But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That whole thing kind of throws you, and I remember being thrown before. But it was at Caesars, and it's Cheap Trick. At a Cheap Trick concert, everybody should be standing, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And at least in front of the stage, you know, and getting into a rock. Right. It's more like you're going to an opera or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice.
Yeah. What is it about that? Is it the venue? Is it, you know, the just the way that it's presented? Is it, what is it? Is it Windsorites?
I don't know.
Is it the city? Is it, you know?
It sucks ass, if you ask me. Like they came on and I forget what the first one, I'm standing up. Yeah, I look around. I'm the only guy here.
I'm wondering if it's because it's an older crowd, maybe a little bit. You know, like it's Cheap Trick's been around for a long time, and do they play regularly, or is this like something new kind of for them?
I don't think they ever. Well, yeah, they do stop playing, but yeah, they play regularly. They play regular.
Yeah,
they just did the thing in Vegas there for the charity. They made a DVD of, I think they did 12 shows of Sgt. Pepper's. Mm-hmm. They did the whole album from front to back,
and didn't play any Sgt. Pepper when you saw them, though, huh?
Yeah, I thought for sure they would throw something in there, at least one Beatles cover tune. Mm-hmm. I mean, Government Mule even does that, and they're not even close to the Beatles. But, good show all in all, though. It's a Cheap Trick. How can you go wrong? Especially when Rob, his voice is in awesome form. Mm-hmm. He takes you right back. And they played a lot of stuff from their newest album, which is called The Latest.
Right.
And I listened to that quite a bit before the show, and it's a Cheap Trick album. It's not like a bunch of old guys. They don't change nothing. They have a formula, and they're sticking to it, basically.
Yeah, they've always been sounded like the same pretty much, like all the albums, just different songs. And,
exactly.
And that's cool.
Yeah, if you're nothing a rock slash pop band.
You know, sometimes any bands, I mean, if they change too much on a record, it's, you know, either it has to grow on you or you don't like it. You know what I mean? They change and...
Exactly.
You know, I don't see anything wrong with a band sounding the same all the time because that's them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes they want to mature and grow, and so they put out something that's very different than what they did in the past, or sometimes their record label makes them. You know? You guys aren't selling enough records. You got to change something or knows what, you know? And they sell out and nobody likes it, but...
That's right. And... they haven't done that. And the rock pop formula is pretty much, I think they've defined it myself. They partly define that whole rock pop kind of sound. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was fun. Downtown Windsor. Kim and I were celebrating our 19th anniversary.
Whoa.
I know.
19th?
19, yeah.
Wow.
I just remember when I turned 19.
That's pretty lengthy.
And supposedly, I've been married for 19 years. Holy moly.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. When is it?
The actual day is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. 20 years.
No,
19 years. Well, it's getting close.
Very close to 20. We'll be doing something a little different for our 20th, I think.
I guess, yeah. And what is the, I think, what is it? Is it every year or every... 5-10 years, there's like it's a gifts are paper, gold, silver, you know, all that. What is the next thing? Is that 20 years the next one? Is it every 5 years or something?
No, every year has
it. Is it every year has a different? Yeah. Do you follow that at all?
I think I tried to look up what 19th was. I think it was like zirconium or something.
Zirconium? Can you even? Where do you get that on Superman's planet?
Zellers.
I think that's kryptonite.
You can buy
cubic zirconium. Oh, okay, the phony diamond.
Phony diamond, yeah. Because I think there's a traditional list,
right?
That's been around for centuries.
Yeah,
and then there's the modern list of stuff that you can get. I'm not sure what 19 is though. I forget.
19. That's almost half a 20. Y'all like NASCAR?
He's into that, that's for sure.
Time for some news, I think.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Well, the newsroom clock says 11:11.
It's 11:11 in the newsroom.
Yeah, you know what that means, don't you?
That's...
something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know, it means something.
It's going to turn to 11:12 in a minute.
Whoa, and it did. You were right. Holy smokes. You hear it here on the Jabbercast first.
19th anniversary, by the way, is bronze. If you want to send a bronze something, anybody for our anniversary.
Baby shoes. Bronze the kids' baby shoes.
Sure. I think we did that. No,
did you?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I think that's like another gift thing, actually. But anyway. To the news.
To the news. Celebrities sing out for Haiti, but how long will the public listen?
Yeah.
That works right in the beginning, I think, but, how many times can they keep doing that? Or can anybody, who knows? There's probably other reasons. I wonder if some of them kind of cash in on it, their celebrity status, or they kind of been maybe out of the limelight a little bit and they get involved in these things or whatever, but... then there's the, just the factor that they'll make some money for Haiti, raise money, and then after that, they're not going to raise very much money, especially when they kind of, you get this big group together and they do this big...
benefit.
Yeah, big benefit concert or whatever, and then a lot of them try and do things on their own afterwards. I don't know how well that works after. It's the initial one that's the big thing, I think.
Of course, yeah. Especially in today's society, North American society anyway, it's like, gimme, 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 gimme. It's 15 minutes of whatever, They put stories in knowing that it's going to fade after, there's a certain fade line, they call it. And the big stories are, they have longer fade lines, whereas, some politician cheats on his wife or whatever. That's like a 3-4 day fade line. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's some bigger stories like earthquake in Haiti, that's going to be a month long fade line,
right?
But what happens after a month? Are people still homeless? Do people still need to eat? Of course. And it has to constantly be not drilled into the public, but it has to be constantly renewed for people to keep giving,
right?
But how long are people going to give for is the question.
And then hopefully as long as they need it, but yeah,
and eventually government's just got to step in and taxpayers' dollars and divert it to the effort in Haiti.
Y'all watch Super Bowl?
Super Bowl's today.
That's right.
We are broadcasting and recording the Jabbercast on Super Bowl Sunday.
A new Haiti relief remix of the Who's My Generation will premiere today.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's the connection?
Yeah.
Because, of course, who's the halftime artist on the Super Bowl?
What?
Who's the halftime artist?
Oh, I have no idea about that exact...
Seriously?
Well, I'm not... Yeah, no, who's on...
You don't know who the band is?
Oh, no, I don't even. I don't pay any attention to Super Bowl whatsoever, period. Who is it?
That's right. It's The Who.
Oh, is it The Who?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wonder what this remix of the Who's My Generation has anything... I wonder if it's them doing it or is it... What is that? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a tie in. The Who must have said, okay, yeah, you can use our song and, it's all tied in. So someone's covering it and they'll sell it and the proceeds will be able to go to Haiti. Hmm. So The Who must have,
So how does The Who fit into that though? I mean, maybe they're playing with some rappers or something.
Guaranteed.
Generation.
No, I don't think so. I can almost guarantee it's just going to be the band and they're just going to rock out.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It's going to be cool. Four songs of The Who rocking.
Keith Moon. Is it all the rest of the, who's playing bass? I don't know.
Probably the same guy.
The guy from...
his name is Pino something.
Oh, okay.
Really good bass player. He's session guy forever and ever. But the Who, of course, is Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend now.
Yeah.
And Ringo's son plays drums.
Oh, really?
Ringo Starr's son plays drums.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
And Pete's brother does keys and a lot of harmonies, all those high harmonies that Pete used to be able to get. He sings them. Simon is his name. Simon Townsend.
Is that? I think I have a CD by him.
Oh, is that right?
Does he have a kid that has a CD too? Maybe I'm thinking of Simon.
Oh, maybe. No, I don't think Pete has any kids.
Oh, no, he wouldn't have kids, would he? Unless they were adopted.
Unless they were adopted. Even though, I'm just kind of curious, when did Pete
come out
to himself? You know, a lot of people, they're gay and
but he came out just only recently, right? Really, sort of.
15, 20 years ago, maybe?
Well, that long?
Yeah.
Was it that long?
When he came out with, what was it called? Rough Boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of when it was all came down.
Yeah, see, I wasn't paying that much attention to The Who then, and I kind of thought it was maybe later.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was around that time, because there's a lot of references, you know, like, what the hell, this guy sounds gay. And sure enough, he was. Another iconic rock guy who turns out to be liking having sex with the same gender.
Should have had an interview with him on last week's show.
I tried to get him, but he's hard.
What do you mean you tried to get him and he's hard? USDA tightens requirements to assure school lunch safety.
Yeah?
Yeah, because McDonald's and other fast food chains are far more rigorous than the government in checking for bacteria and dangerous pathogens in beef. And so the USDA now is tightening that up so to make sure that the food's good for the kids.
Yeah, they're trying to do all the lunch, you know, all the lunchrooms and stuff.
More than 31 million children participate in the school lunch program.
Yeah. It's huge. And they're trying to get it so that they're eating good stuff as opposed to fries and gravy.
Yeah,
and
not only eating good food, but the good food that they're eating is safe for them, yeah.
Exactly. Because, yeah, who knows what the conditions are.
Who knows what's
in
the beef? It's not where's the beef anymore, it's what's in the beef.
What's in the beef and whose beef is it?
I get a beef with the beef.
The latest in the Toyota slamming, I don't know what you call that. What do you think happened there? Do you think they knew all these problems or even problems that there probably was problems, I'm thinking, that they had with some vehicles that they brushed under the carpet, fixed them, and just quietly went away or whatever?
That's possible.
Because I think the whole culture in Japan is saving face.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, it's an honor system. Like, you know, you're honored for what you've done in life and what you've done for yourself. And when something goes bad, it looks bad and you don't ever want to look bad, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think they hit a lot of stuff just based on this behavior of what was going on. So supposedly they knew that. Now it's the brake thing, you know, about the brakes and the Priuses,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they try to keep that quiet. Whereas the big three in North America, they know you just can't keep that stuff quiet. Because if that comes around and you were shown to be hiding that kind of information, you'd be done, I think.
The Chinese just play dumb, I think.
This is Japanese people.
Yeah, okay, Japanese. Yeah. What do you mean, brake? What? Well, you talk brake.
Exactly.
I don't know. Brake. What? Brake. We got brake on car?
Did you see the... you probably didn't see it. I saw it online. The editorial cartoon guy in the Windsor Star. He has...
That paper's still around?
The Windsor Star?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can get the digital version online, too.
Right, too.
Watch that on your iPad. He has Toyota's latest strategy in fixing... the brake thing on the Priuses, mm-hmm. And they got a guy in there with his feet through the floorboard, 2 feet out.
Right, Flintstone style.
We can always go with the Flintstone method.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
Oh, that was a slam on Toyota right there. But
right there.
A lot of, in this area where, you know, the big three, especially with Chrysler's, they're just getting slammed in the last couple of years. A lot of guys on the floor say, you know, good on them, you know, it's about time they get theirs or whatever. It's kind of like a mean-spirited sort of thing, which, I don't know, is that called for? I don't think so. You know,
no, of course it's not called for.
I don't think you need to be doing stuff like that, but... clouds delay a NASA space shuttle launch. Clouds prevented the space shuttle Endeavour from blasting off Sunday. The last planned nighttime shuttle launch delayed its trip with a few final building blocks for the International Space Station. Now, just this past week, President Obama said that he's not willing to use taxpayer money to pay for another trip to the moon. Because what they want to do is set up something on the moon.
What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean? Another trip to the moon? We went to the moon before?
Yeah.
There's a little controversy over that.
The Apollo space mission.
Do you think we went to the moon?
I am 50-50. There's a lot of stuff that kind of makes it like, ooh, what happened there? How come, you know, there's a little...
Yeah. Makes you wonder.
Makes me wonder, yeah. Whereas a kid, you know, in 1969 or whatever it was, you know, I was fascinated by that kind of stuff. You know, one small step for man, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so they're supposed to go to the moon as a, and they want to set up kind of like some kind of station there on the moon for like a halfway point or a stopping point for missions to Mars. But apparently, Obama has put the kibosh on that and saying, we're not going to do any of that stuff right now because we can't afford it. And really they can't. You know, it's nice to be forward-thinking and have these programs in place, but we have to have priorities. And I think something like NASA has to have I think it should go in flow and ebbs. They can't just constantly be getting big chunks of money. I think they want like another $1 billion just for this moon deal. So they're saying, no, we're not going to do that for now. So,
do we know what their plan is once they reach the moon? What are they going to do? Are they going to cultivate?
No. Like I said, it's going to be like a way station for missions to Mars.
Okay.
Big JD's over here, a little busy doing stuff. He's actually listening to what's going on during the show.
Did you say something?
Exactly.
Sorry about that. yeah, that's right. A way station.
He's caught up in the moment. He's not caught up in the moment.
So let me see if I got this correctly. Where there's no gravity, they're going to make a way station.
Way station. Get it? That's right. I don't even know if that's the right word, way station, but it's a halfway point between... not a halfway point, obviously. The moon is much closer to Earth than Mars is.
You have any more news for us?
No, but I'm kind of curious. You say you don't follow the Super Bowl, but you must be interested.
Super what?
In the ads.
That is pretty interesting. Yeah, yeah, and I hear about it all after.
Okay,
the fact. But all right. Who's the big ad this time?
I have no idea. No idea. Obviously Coke's going to have a big ad, and it's probably funny. And same with Budweiser. Both those companies are. And there's going to be some kind of car.
Some kind of car, yeah.
Some kind of car company is going to be in there. I'm not sure.
Toyota.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Big bucks. Yeah. We fixed our brakes. Guy's foot through the floor. Yeah. See, I was listening. I just want to know what chick's going to kiss which chick on there. That's what I want to know. Like the Madonna Britney Spears thing.
Well, that was some award show, wasn't it?
No.
Yes.
No, wasn't that Super Bowl?
No,
somebody hugged somebody. Somebody grabbed somebody's boob, popped out. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
There we go. Yeah. Michael Jackson, his boob popped out. Is he still around, by the way?
Stop. I watched that movie, though, this week.
Michael Jackson movie?
This Is It.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How was that?
I liked it.
Was it it? Was it all that?
It was all that. Yeah. He's one talented mofo, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's sometimes I wonder by looking at him or listening to him how he could be that talented because he seems so... I don't know what it is. He just seems dumb. You know, in a lot of cases, I mean, some of his actions and some of the things he said and the way that he kind of presents himself and talks sometimes, it just like seems like he's just, I don't know, so passive and so, you know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's like this huge superstar and writes these hits. And does he actually write all that stuff?
He actually writes all that
all
stuff.
All by himself? Yeah. Or does he have partners that write, or like Billie Jean and all those kinds of things? And
that's a good question.
You know, I wonder how all that works.
I'm going to say he's like a Steve Vai kind of guy. He's just like... And I think with his life the way it is, I think he can compartmentalize it because he was a kid, but yet he had show business. So he had to separate his kid from the whole show business thing. So I think that's what he did. Once he goes into that mode, that's what he knows ever since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he goes into the studio. Okay, I know how to work. I got to go to work right now and I got to get this done kind of
thing. I don't even know if he thinks that way, though. Does he have a professional thinking mind when he's at all that stuff? Or does it just, I think it just seems to come natural and he writes and does what he does. I don't know that he really, you know, I think people lead him around and bring him where he's got to go and do what he's got to do. And I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think he's that out of it.
No.
When he was alive, that is. We're talking about him like he's still living.
I mean, I've never really seen anything, and I don't know if this talks more in depth.
This will give you that impression. You can tell he's working when he's up there. He's at work.
Yeah. Does he discuss what he's doing and how he does things?
They have a vocal coach is there with him. Mm-hmm. So
that's funny, too, I find.
That there's a vocal coach?
Well, yeah. Some of the biggest superstars, I mean, they have coaches and they have, you know, vocal coach and they have teachers and they have, you know what I mean?
The vocal coach, I don't think was so much for him. Mm-hmm. I think it was for the people singing with him.
Oh, okay, right.
Because it starts with the audition for the dance troupe. So they get all these people from all over the world, the best dancers. Mm-hmm. Like 100 people on this stage, more than 100 people, 300 people, tons of people. And they whittled it down to the last, whatever they got up there, 20 people or whatever. And they got to be able to dance really good, and they got to be able to sing really good.
That's like something I recently heard that Joe Bonamassa has a vocal coach.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody to teach him, help him sing the blues. And I just find it like, I mean, you hear the guy and, you know, even maybe before he had somebody, I mean, you just hear his voice and it's so cool and it's unique. It's original. And then you find out like he's got somebody that coaches him and it's like, I don't know. I just, I don't get it really, but.
Well, I think... You know, being somebody like Joe Bonamassa, you eventually you're going to get certain things. You know how to do this and do this. And if you're concentrating on the performance, you're concentrating on playing guitar, and you got to sing at the same time. It's nice to have someone there listening to you and kind of giving you. It's like a golf coach. You know, they watch your swing, and all the professional golfers are like that. But with Michael Jackson, it wasn't so much like that. Mm-hmm. It was like he knew every single harmony that was to be sung on top of his, like, you know, he's talking to the guy.
You know? Yeah, he's just, I guess he's a genius, you know, to some degree, but I don't know, you know, musically somehow.
He's a dead genius now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he is, it was a natural thing for him, I think.
Him and Albert Einstein are
brothers
in the genius.
They were both white.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That he transformed his face pretty much. But that's his own choice, I guess.
Are you waiting for Big JD and Lippo? Wait no more. Yeah. So, what's today's topic?
Is that all that was?
Just I don't know what that was. There? Yeah, that was just a bumper. One of those rubber baby buggy ones.
Oh boy. Today we're talking about pretending.
Ooh.
And, how this subject got into.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just pretending.
No, I was just wondering. For real? What were you thinking when you.
I don't know.
Let's, go to the synopsis page and.
Yeah, let's take a look and see what's up.
And see what
that'll kill some time.
Kill some time. We're not usually in a killing time mode.
No.
Usually
this is one of those shows. What's that TV show?
Jeopardy.
Johannesburg White.
What is pretending? Does a child look at pretending differently than an adult? Do adults even pretend? What are some of the differences between pretending, kidding, and even lying?
Sounds rather serious. Let's see what Merriam-Webster's dictionary has to say about what pretending is. And they state it's to give a false appearance of being, possessing, are performing to make believe, to claim, represent, or assert falsely, to foreign in action, part, or role, especially in play, and to put in a claim, pretending.
Sure.
Okay. A facade, if you will. Role-playing is a big pretend thing that's been around forever.
And one of the, I would have to say, the most prevalent role-playing game that's been around since before there was computers and video game consoles is Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know any kids who played Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, I think I did vaguely, but I wasn't into it, so I didn't really know or associate really with anything that was going on. You know what I mean? Still see some of that. But it was a pretty big thing, eh? It was your life, like, you made into Dungeons, like a, you know?
No, it was simulated a game that went on for hours.
Yeah?
And it could go on all day, depending on how far you wanted to take it.
An actual game, like a board type thing or something?
No, it was a
role-playing thing?
Yeah. According to the wiki, it's a fantasy role-playing game, which nowadays is, they got to have an acronym for everything, an RPG. Originally designed by Gary Gygax and Dave Ameson and first published in 1974 by Tactical Study Rules Incorporated. The game has been published by Wizards of the Coast since 1997. It was derived from miniature war games with a variation on the chainmail game, serving as the initial rule system. Chainmail, you familiar with chainmail?
Yeah, chain letters.
D&D's publication is widely regarded as the beginning of modern role-playing games and the role-playing game industry. So basically you have different rules, you know, you got to weapon up so you can beat other people at what they do. And there's certain rules. You can only accept certain things from certain people. You know, it's a pretty complex set of rules and stuff. And once you know it, you're kind of proud of the fact, you know, and you want to go out and play other people with Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Because so it's not just the game thing. It's the one-upmanship. I know this about the game, and I know this rule. And but it's kind of like chess, kind of. You know, it's
one-upmanship. I like that.
It's very strategic. The better strategizer you are, the more apt you are to.
He's really pulling him out of the hat. That's great.
And I just find it fascinating that you had to go on, like I say, for hours and pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah. That reminds me a little bit of the, now on computer, like the Sims stuff.
Oh, Sims, well, obviously that's derived right from.
And so are the chain letters now in email. But I remember, if we could just sidestep this a little bit, the chain mail things, once in a while, like I remember we would get an actual piece of mail that was a chain letter. And if I'm not mistaken, they got sent out again to 10 people.
Yeah, that's what you had to do.
Yeah. And that was weird. And the one that I actually really kind of recall, I think, came from somebody that we knew, maybe. I mean, I think it had a return address. And for some reason, I believe that it came from someone we knew. Although I think it was probably supposed to be anonymous. I don't know. But when it comes in a letter and you have to put your return address on, or people did, I guess. I don't know. But just thinking back on that, it's funny.
The chain mail, it's an actual game that was invented in 1971 by one of the same guys who invented Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah?
And another guy. Mm-hmm. And that was a game that was developed by this guy. He was a hobby shop owner, and there was a set of rules for these medieval miniatures. So you had dudes.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if you played on a board or whatever, but let me see. Early history. The use of 40-millimeter... elastolin miniatures for medieval wargaming was promoted by Siege of Brandenburg, which appeared in Strategy and Tactics magazine in 1967. So that's the early history of that. And then
that's chainmail.
That's chainmail, yeah. So that's where.
I never even heard of that, except for the real mail.
So that's where they got the rules to play Dungeons and Dragons. So you took the same rules that were playing with these little miniature dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And you applied it to the real people. So you're going through life and you had to, you know, get certain things and probably little pieces of paper that you wrote, money or IOUs or whatever. What was it? Well, there was another game where you had little dudes.
Was it Clue? Or was it...
No, I'm talking about like...
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Fighting.
Risk. There was something that had men, and it was looked, and it always seemed like older guys in the commercials, like two old men playing it.
I think that's a Risk commercial you're thinking of, but maybe, I'm not sure if that's then. What I'm thinking about the dudes. Yeah. But anyway, I
Army remember. Men. Do you ever play with Army men? Pretend
Army men. No, I think that's where the Army dudes, like the ones that were in Toy Story kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's, they came from this sort of, the chainmail game, I'm thinking. But that's Dungeons and Dragons. That's a big pretending thing. So what makes someone want to be a player of Dungeons and Dragons?
Is it?
Do people want to pretend to be somebody else because they're not happy with what they're doing, or they just want to take it to some kind of fantasy land? Or,
and why do they do it now? Why do people do the Sims things and make whole new lives that they are engulfed in?
Right.
I have a friend that does that on PlayStation or whatever, and he converses with other guys. They have headphones and things on, and they hang out and everything in virtual realities, in virtual places and everything. Right. And they like to do it all day and night. And they hang out with each other and in their places and everything. And the other guy will come over and hang out or whatever. However that works. I don't get it, but.
But if they were like next door neighbors, they probably wouldn't even look at each other.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who are the same way. I got my dude in Australia and this girl in England who's part of my whatever tribe or whatever they call their unit of the tactical unit that are fighting, whatever. And I think there's some of those games are being, that concept are being taken onto Facebook now. Mm-hmm. So you have your crew or whatever, and they're fighting other crews, doing something, earning stuff.
There's Mafia Wars, there's Farm Town, and those kinds of things. Is that that's all pretend? Pretending to farm.
Yeah, and spending a lot of time doing it. I know some people are on there way too much.
That's all crazy to me.
It is crazy. And the dude who invented, I know, Farmville, he's making like a bundle of cash. Like you can buy actual virtual wood to build your fence that you need to keep your stuff in. They pay real money.
Oh, really? I didn't know that you could actually pay real money to get stuff. Yeah,
like you pay whatever, $2-5.
And there's a Farmville and Farm Town. I don't know if it's the same guy's got anything to do with it, but...
No, I'm sure someone's trying to steal the idea. Sure. Why not? I'm not sure which one came first. Farmville sounds like it was probably come before Farm Town anyway.
My Aunt Shirley's been writing short family stories, and this one here is loosely about pretending, which is our show topic today. It's about my dad, her brother, and I'm going to read it for you.
Cowboy Al, Another Story About Alvin by Shirley Melosh. Because my mother wanted to give all of her children music lessons, she gave my brother Alvin guitar lessons. Alvin always wanted to be a cowboy so he could ride a horse and have a gun to shoot the bad guys like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry did in the movies. They had guitars and sang cowboy songs. Of course, he also wanted to play the guitar. From all the play fighting he did with his brother Larry, wrestling in the imaginary saloons, he wanted to be a cowboy so bad that he got mad at her mother because she was not born in the olden days so he could be a cowboy. Once he went into a rage yelling at her, "I should have been born in the cowboy days. I hate you because I'm not a cowboy." At the time, he was only 4 years old. He always had toy cowboy guns with a holster. They shot caps and sounded like a real gun shooting bullets. When he got a little older, if his cap gun broke, he would even do some errands, like go to the store for someone and get to keep the change. Then, he would save up to go to the drugstore and buy some caps and hit them with a rock on the sidewalk to make them bang. They actually sounded like a real gun. That was why he wanted guitar lessons, to be like a singing cowboy. The trouble was, his guitar lessons were not the Spanish guitar like the cowboys in the movies played while they rode their horses. My mother gave him Hawaiian guitar lessons. Again, my mother gave the wrong lessons to her child. At that time, she wanted us to be happy and learn music, but she probably did it as inexpensively as possible, and we got to learn only what was not popular at the time. This Hawaiian guitar stands on four legs, and the musician stands up to play. I remember going with Mom and Alvin to the studio, and we had never seen that instrument. Alvin cried, but still had to try learning how to play this guitar. He wanted to play the Spanish guitar, the kind the cowboys played in the movies he saw at the show. After a few lessons, he was able to quit. Later, when he married his wife Phyllis, they had two sons, Michael and Jeffrey. He had musical talent, but some of that musical knowledge was lost by not learning the instrument of his choice at an early age. Children sometimes know themselves well enough to be aware of what they would like. For that reason, they should be listened to when they speak. The end.
when I was thinking about the pretending show, the biggest thing I think for me was probably as a kid pretending, you know, and how it relates to kids and that kind of thing. And so maybe we could go there. All right. Being a kid and pretending all sorts of things. You ever make a tent in your house in the kitchen, like or over the back of the couch or something with blankets and pretend you're camping?
Yes, I think it was more than just camping, though. If we put the blanket over, we were somewhere.
A fort, maybe, or a tent, or somewhere, yeah.
Things were harsher than it actually seemed being in the living room, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it was like storming out, or somebody was out to get us, or, mm-hmm. you know, it was always, there was always some kind of evil on the outside of whatever you were in. That was, you know, that's what the whole fort thing was. Why do you need a fort?
Yeah.
It assumes that there's something coming to get you that you have to fight against. It's always a fort.
What about another thing that we did? And I don't know if that we so much did it for at any time, or it was when my mother would clean the kitchen or something like that, do the floors in there, so all the chairs would be moved in the living room, so we'd line them up like a train and we'd pretend it was a train.
Oh, right, you know? Yeah.
And I think it was always seemed to be at that time, because she'd move the chairs in there. I don't think we'd ever just take all the chairs out and put them in there to do that. But
right. She was cleaning the floor. I remember doing the same kind of thing myself. Yeah.
I think all kids do that. And where do they all get the same ideas? Isn't that kind of funny?
It is funny.
Your bed? You ever use your bed as a boat, a ship, a pirate ship, or, you know, maybe a car?
I don't recall doing that.
I wonder if we get some of that stuff from old movies and things, like Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, where the bed would fly around or something, or, you know, those kinds of things. Or,
right.
You know, see things like as a kid, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Shh, watch your mouth.
And a flying car, and then you'd, you know, want to make believe your bed was a car. Like, I wonder where we pick all these things up.
From your dad.
Yeah.
He was probably on the bed with you.
6 years Wednesday for pops too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See how time
big
is
big celebration.
Time is just flying.
A box as a cave, maybe.
These are
playing boxes.
This is kid stuff again.
Yeah. I'm still on the kids thing.
Oh yeah, when a box came in, you got your new washing machine or your new refrigerator came in the house, you got a big box.
And yeah, there you go.
That was good for at least 2-3 days of.
Or just even the things outside of playing cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians. It's all pretend.
Yes, it was. Did you play cowboys and Indians?
Honestly, I don't know that I played cowboys and Indians. Maybe more cops and robbers something.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know.
The Indian thing, no one ever wanted to be an Indian.
Yeah. But I also think that, I think back further that kids played that. Like when my dad was young, I think they played more cowboy and Indians. I think the cowboy thing was kind of before... sort of before our time, the old Gene Autry movies and all those old right. John Wayne movies. So kids back then were, you know, probably played more cops, more cowboys and Indians than the cops and robber thing. And that came maybe more for our generation.
Right. We definitely played cops and robbers for sure. Robin Banks.
Who's he?
Robin Banks?
Yeah.
That's... No, I'm thinking of somebody else. The chick on Howard Stern.
And even playing with cars and trucks and things like that, or I think maybe even playing the race track games and Hot Wheels and things like that. Is that pretend to some degree? Because you're pretending to be a race car drivers, or you're pretending to, you know, you have cars and trucks out in the backyard in the dirt, so you're pretending that you're, you know, out in a desert, or...
Sure.
I guess there's some degree of pretending in all of that.
Absolutely. And I think that to take this somewhere else is some kids think they're good at that, or they are good at pretending and role playing or whatever. And then they become actors, I should say.
Sure. Yeah.
And some people get a career in acting, mm-hmm. and that's basically a career in pretending. You're going to some place pretending to be somebody else, and you go through all these motions, and you have to be believable. You're putting on a performance. Yes. But in your mind, you have to be pretending to be somebody else.
Yep. Exactly.
So, obviously, you have to have this kind of thing in you to want to pretend to... I don't know what the drive to do that is from. It's either you...
Yeah, I think maybe some people, it's probably purely entertainment. Or that they like to act out a role of, you know, something very different from themselves. Or some of it must be something... something that's maybe not right about them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's where I think you're kind
of
going.
Yeah. The evilness of it. Like good liars would make good actors.
Yeah.
And good actors lawyers. Probably do make. Yeah.
Lawyers got to pretend.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. People who have to put on some kind of performance, like a lawyer's got to go out and just BS his way into all kinds of situations in the courtroom and to his clients and whatever. But I just wanted to take it from the acting thing.
Right.
Like there's actors out there and that's an actual profession, a professional pretender, basically. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I wanted to talk about was sexual fantasies.
Yep.
People pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, sure.
To
sexual role playing.
Yeah, to take their sex life into a different place. And some people, that's all they know. That's
I got a dress on under these man clothes.
You should have said it the other way around.
What?
I got man clothes underneath all these, underneath this dress. Gotta put a picture in their mind, JD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a big industry behind that. You know, there's the whole leather
all whips, the sex shops chains. And stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That cater to these sexual fantasies. People, guys want to be dominated by a dominatrix. And there's all kinds of places we could go with that. But this is a family show.
Where do people get that?
Yeah, where do they get
why
that?
Why do they, you know, is it from pornographic movies? Is it, you know... What is it? What makes a guy want his wife to dress up as a police officer and come to the door, you know, and or what makes him want to maybe, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of what other things make him want to come to the door with a pizza box or something like that and have his wife in a French maid outfit. And
yeah.
Does it come from movies or where else would anybody get that from, really? Some of those things.
I know. It's... either that or they just want to spice things up and they go find out. They do maybe a little bit of research or ask their friends, what can we do? Well, here, why don't you try this out?
Yeah, I guess.
And if you're adventurous, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to do that kind of thing, I guess. I can see Lana with a whip.
Yeah, I can see her as a slave driver.
Slave driver. I'm sure she does it already.
Yeah.
You lazy bastard.
Good thing she doesn't have the whip. So we're talking about pretending today. And now what's the difference between, say, pretending or lying or kidding, fibbing about something? Because sometimes people or kids will pretend to maybe not get in trouble or to change the outcome to something or just to outright lie. Pretending kind of sort of fits in
there for sure.
Somewhere.
Lying is a snapshot of pretending.
Snapshot.
I'm talking straight stuff to you, and then as soon as you confront me with something I can't tell you the truth about, I got to pretend for a minute.
Right.
My eyes got to look a certain way, and I got to talk a certain way. And
how does imagination then fit into all that? Because I think you have to have an imagination to pretend. So
you have to have an imagination to tell a good lie, you mean?
Or to lie. What, to pretend or to lie or anything. I mean,
your imagination.
That's where all the phoniness comes in.
That's right. If you don't have an imagination, you're not going to be a very good liar or a pretender.
Right.
And obviously some people aren't. They can't pretend to be something else. They're just the way they are kind of thing. And those people are never suited for
much of anything, probably.
Well, no, that's not true. They could make a good accountant.
That'd be great. Yeah. Exciting.
But I don't know. It's a fine line between pretending and lying. That's for sure.
Do animals pretend? Animals do pretend to some degree. Some do. What about the bird that pretends it's wounded?
Is there such a thing?
I think there is. I think there are animals that pretend certain things in certain situations to avoid being attacked and those kinds of things. So
yeah, there's animals that play dead. I know. Spiders, for one thing, can play dead.
There's something that's pretending. Where do they get that instinct of? I mean, we can see that as a form of pretending, I guess. But I mean, what is that exactly? When you have to play dead,
Yeah.
You have to pretend you're dead.
Yeah.
I wonder
how that got in their brain.
Yeah. Do they have brains?
Well, how it got into their instinct, I guess.
I guess.
Because their kids are going to do it, and their kids are going to do it, and so on and so on. So, yeah, well, that's a good question. Who was the first spider to play dead?
The spider or the egg?
And who was the person? And did the spider talk to their kids about it?
Yeah. And but there's not that many animals that act, or insects that actually play anything, is there?
Pretend to do something.
Yeah. Does a dog pretend anything? I don't think a dog would ever pretend anything. Cat? No. Does a cat ever pretend
to
do or be anything? No, I don't think so.
Not that I know of, no.
Yet something like a spider will pretend, will play dead.
Among bird watchers, the female killdeer is well known for pretending to be hurt. When a potential predator appears within the vicinity of her nest, the killdeer will adopt a posture of
wing dragging, making it appear. Good. I found the same page.
That's pretty good.
Neato.
The female will gradually lead the predator away from her nest, eventually flying off when the predator is at a safe distance from the nest. Oh, that's a good idea.
See, yeah. And so that's pretending, but that's instinct. So where does that fit in with pretending, I guess? You know what I mean? When it's instinct like that, is that, what about, I don't know, with kids it's pretending, but that's, I think it's an instinct to some degree with us too, pretending.
It must be. That's what I'm thinking. Just
because we all do it and know it and use it.
Yeah. So it's something about us that's in maybe all animals. Because obviously that's a complex pretending scheme there for a bird. You know how big a bird's brain is?
Huge.
No, it's very tiny. It's like not even pea-sized. And the fact that it puts in its head that if I pretend to be hurt and I will then lure this predator away from my nest. And she's just doing it for her kids.
Right.
So that's complex.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Lippo's hooking us up this week with some music. What do you got?
I got an album. This song is from
playing an album. A whole album?
Yeah, no, we're going to play a whole album. Hello there, this is Sunday Morning Album. No. It's Eric Clapton's off his Journeyman CD. And I didn't actually test the levels on this. I should have.
I'll throw it a halfway. Start with that.
So I'm playing this from my iPhone. It's Pretending.
How many times must we
Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
I have a little something for Tech Talk, and it's probably something that we've talked about before, but I just recently purchased a new USB hub, and I just kind of wanted to make mention of the importance of having a USB hub, because there's probably people that are always fidgeting around with their wires and unplugging and plugging in USB things because they don't realize there's hubs out there that you can get that plug into one USB port and give you like 4 to 7 more ports to be able to plug a bunch of things in simultaneously and not be playing around with your wires and that kind of thing. And it's just kind of been on my mind lately just because I had to get a new one.
Right. And it still works?
Yeah, it still works. It's a Belkin.
Yeah.
And I know you had some trouble with a Belkin, a couple of them, right?
I think it was like 31 days after you bought it.
Really? Yeah. Well, I got to wait for 31 days and see. And I don't know if this is the same as what you may have had or what, but...
I don't know.
In fact, this is like an offshoot. It's like, looks like a whole different packaging and thing and everything. And at the bottom, it says made by Belkin. It's called My Something or Other.
Oh.
And there are these red packages. You know, Belkin usually has those white and silver type packages or whatever. Yeah, this is like something kind of different. And, but they're made by Belkin and it's, it seems pretty cool. It's got, I think, 4, 5, 6, one in the front, 2 on the top and 4 in the back, something like that. So it's like, it's pretty cool. And the way it sits is nice. It's similar to I think what yours looks like over there with the square flat thing. And
that's a Belkin, which has 2 on the top and 2 in the back, I think.
Yeah. But anyway, they make hubs, and that's the reason it's called a hub. Is it because it becomes your kind of your central hub for plugging in all your USB things, and
they're use them all the time.
Powered, and it'll plug into the wall, so it supports. You know, all your devices that require that power.
Required the power.
We're hunting wabbits.
One piece of tech news I want to talk about, that being Super Bowl Sunday and everything. Heineken has a robot keg. Mm. You put the glasses in the beer glasses in this dealio on the top of the keg, and there's an arm that shoots off this mechanism on the top, and you just push the button. It'll grab a glass off the top of the keg, bring it down, bring it up to the spigot, pour the beer, and then remove the arm out of the way. And then you just got to grab the beer. So you just push a button and you get a beer.
Sweet.
Nice piece of beer tech there.
Wish I had one of those.
And it's a Heineken.
Nice.
Premium beers.
I just want to talk about one last thing really quick about pretending, and that's when does pretending become a problem? When and how can it become a problem, not only for adults, but kids too? I mean, they pretend too much, and then they start to see imaginary friends that with them for, you know. Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
Yeah, I did for a while.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long was the while? Just as a little kid or something?
Yeah, it was months, I remember. Yep. And I think I've told you this too. I remember living a good portion of my childhood thinking that I was being watched through cameras in light bulbs.
Wow. No, you never told me that. That's just absolutely incredible.
I thought I was like, there was a movie made of that, wasn't there? The kid was filmed and then he grew up and he was living his life.
You didn't get that from watching that film, did you? Or is it just...
I mean, I was like a small child.
Wow. So it was just like this thing you had for thinking light bulbs were something else maybe or whatever, but...
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And I would act a certain way based on, I'm in the light, I'm going to act a certain way and do certain things. It was crazy.
Wow, that's pretty neat though.
It's not right.
Do you have... do you think about that when you change a light bulb or anything these days? Does it come to mind at all?
I probably have... What do they call that when you push something in the back of your brain? Suppressed.
Yeah. What about when you see those little bubbles
that do actually have cameras in them? Cameras in them. I think of that. I do think of that. I think, yeah, that's the kind of thing that was looking at me. And
you probably had an idea for an invention before it ever came out.
And I don't cameras think it was, and I didn't bubbles. Think it was people either that were watching me. I thought it was
something from aliens. Outer space.
Yeah.
While you wanted to be a Was it you wanted to be?
An astronomer.
Then? There you go. It all ties in.
It does tie in. My head was in the stars, not in the clouds, beyond the clouds, in the stars.
That's pretty cool. I never had an imaginary friend, so I don't know what that's really all about.
Oh, the whole imaginary friend. Yeah, he was invisible, of course. And he was your buddy. So I think you wanted, as a kid, you want to talk to somebody, and it's somebody, something you want to talk about that you can't really talk to your brothers about, and you can't talk to your parents about, and you can't talk to your friends about because you're embarrassed or whatever. So you make up an imaginary friend and you talk to him about it.
Did your parents know that you had an imaginary friend? Did
anybody know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My dad didn't appreciate it too much or whatever. Why are you sitting on the one side of your chair? Because my imaginary friend's sitting on the other half. That's why. I don't remember. He had a name, too. I don't remember his name.
And a lot of kids do that. And it's pretty neat. I think it's probably a part of most people's childhoods, maybe. But at some point, that could go wrong. And they could have that forever. when pretending goes bad or not so much goes bad, but stays with you for your whole life where you pretend things like that.
Yeah, you take it too long. I think once you find that friend who takes the place of the invisible friend,
sure,
yeah. That's when he goes away. Or she, depending on what you're doing.
But the same could be said, I think, for lying and things like that, that can last with you forever if you, you know,
because you're good at it. Yeah, you're good at it, and you like the results.
And you know that it gets you out of trouble or whatever. Exactly. And yeah, but sometimes the results can be negative, and you don't want that.
No.
This week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of the Dungeons and Dragons games. You can find the first three editions used at Steve and Larry's Dungeons and Dragons store, and maybe even find a game of chainmail in there too. You can find them at the corner of Wabash and Strain in beautiful Burbank, California.
And this quote from Bill Cosby. I thought this one was kind of neat because I know I used to see a lot of these gifts back in the day. Fatherhood is pretending. The present you love most is soap on a rope.
Soap on a rope.
I so remember the High Karate and Brute packages with it. It'd have a soap on a rope and the cologne in it.
And it was a nice rope.
We got them. We gave them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always a nice, thick, braided style, cool rope.
Beautiful braided rope. And then...
And the soap was like a nice big medallion type of thing. Like you wanted to wear it.
Well, as a kid, you did wear it. Before it went in the shower, you wore it. And why was the soap on a rope anyway?
I don't know. Was it made just to hang in the shower, I guess? So it was didn't have to sit in down in the corner or it didn't have to, make a mess of the corner of the tub kind of thing. Or I don't know why it was actually designed. Was it designed for that or not?
You hang it over your neck. So when you need
it. Or your neck. Yeah. Put it on to shower with and everything. Or because it was hanging, you could reach and use it and not have to really like find it down in a corner or somewhere around the tub maybe and use it and then wash still just hangs there. You just reach out for it in the shower with your eyes closed and full of it.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. You use your face cloth and you can just soap up your face cloth from the rope hanging from the shower head, I guess. But when we were a kid in my first house, we never had a shower.
No?
We never had.
Just a bathtub.
Just a tub, yeah.
Wow. When I bought my house, it was only a tub, my first house. Yeah. And what I did was put in the, I don't even know what you call it, like a shower stall type thing. Not a shower stall, but it was a frame. And the water would go up in one of those things you held.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it would clip onto the top so that you had a shower. It was weird.
Yeah.
Gotta have a shower, man.
That's what I think. You gotta have a shower now that I've been taking showers, of course. But as a kid, we never took showers. Always in the bath. Yeah. I can remember pooping in the bath right now.
Pooping in the bath? You remember that? You don't remember it?
I remember the first...
I remember my brother doing it when I was in there. Tub with him once.
I bet
something.
You he'll remember.
Yeah,
I remember being in Detroit with my brother. And my brother yelled.
Yeah.
And my dad ran in and... grabbed me and picked me up at both hands and sat me on the toilet. And there was a big hard log at the bottom of the
Moving on. Next week's show. The Kitchen Gadgets and Appliance Show.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I got a favorite kitchen gadget or appliance? Let's talk about our faves and about the ones that never seem to work correctly. We dedicate this show to Ron Popeil.
Ron Popeil.
Ronco. Damn. By Ronco.
He sold fishing rods too, though.
He sold everything.
Yeah, well.
But he did sell
a lot of kitchen stuff.
Kitchen stuff, yeah.
For sure.
For sure. So we'll see everybody next week for that show.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.